Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the Employee Cycle Podcast, especially now with so many things going on and most relevant to this conversation, the global health pandemic of COVID-19. And so today we're going to discuss how HR is leading their company through COVID and helping employees reduce stress and anxiety. But before we get started, we would love for you to introduce yourself by letting us know your name, your company, your role, and where you're located.
I'm Brian Dumford. I'm the Director of Human Resources for an over-the-road trucking company called Buchanan Hauling and Rigging Incorporated, and I'm out of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Nice. And what is your current headcount?
We have a mix of employees and contract drivers that work for us. So we've got about 500-ish people involved in the organization. About 400-ish are employees, and of those 400, a little over 130 are drivers.
Thank you for that. So I want to give a timestamp of today being June 2nd so that people understand where the world is and what's going on as we're having this conversation. So in general, we know that most HR leaders were in crisis mode when COVID really took place and really shut things down. And as I've been interviewing other HR leaders, they've been saying that they've moved from crisis mode to more of a sense of heightened awareness. And so I'm curious, where are you now in regards to the status of how you're managing the workforce in regards to what's going on in the world with COVID?
Well, Bruce, as a trucking company and a transportation company, we are an essential business. So we've luckily never had to shut down or pause our operations. We did have people in administrative and more the office roles working from home. But at the same time, the people who are generating our revenue, our drivers, were really out there on the front lines the whole time. So it was quite a crisis mode in dealing with multiple. You know, I was dealing on multiple fronts. I was dealing on the office front and how to work with employees who wanted to work from home and who had concerns with that, as well as how do we protect our drivers as they're driving across the country and they're driving into all these different, you know, locations and all these different places that have different restrictions, that have different amounts of lockdown, that have, it was nonstop. It was a constant looking at everything. And it was very tough.
What were some of the specific challenges you had to face and overcome dealing with a mixture of in office, but then on the road employees versus just, I'm assuming, making it more simple if everyone just worked in the office?
Correct. One of the challenges was keeping up on the communication and keeping up on the different government mandates and the different stay-at-home orders with different locales, because we've got, you know, I've got offices in six states. So number one, just having a terminal or an office in a different locale than I'm in Indiana, we had to make sure we knew what was going on with that government entity and the status of the pandemic in those locations. And then our drivers live different places too, so. If a driver was driving through Texas, say, while you're in Texas, it's mandated you have a mask. But should you have a mask, do you have to have a mask? So the challenge was really keeping up on all of the data and keeping up on all of the different changes as they were going on.
With all of those changes, which sounds really difficult to keep up with, I mean, my head is spinning just thinking about all those different types of in ways you had to be compliant across all these different states and locations. But dealing with that and trying to deal with that in real time, how are you able to communicate that to all your employees as they're going through this?
We had a great crisis team that we put together here at corporate or at the headquarters that had our communications person the IT, the safety director, safety vice president, I'm sorry, and myself, and then a representative. We have a husband and wife ownership team. So one of the two of them were usually on the call. And so it was a joint effort amongst the crisis team. Our communication lady did a really great job. We have multiple different avenues that we communicate with all our employees. It was email. It was a website. We used some Microsoft tools that we have to put together a power app that people could access. Again, we updated our website, and we used the in-truck communication tool that we have. There's in a commercial truck, there's a thing, I don't know, better way to call it, that we send all the information on the loads and everything to the driver. So we were able to blast out through that as well. So we tried to use all of the different tools that we have to just keep as much information flowing as possible.
So a lot of the other HR leaders that I've interviewed pretty much represent companies where most of the people were working in an office and then they were working from home. And so a lot of the challenges they were facing and dealing with really came from a lot of stress and anxiety of people being home all day with their kids and their kids not being able to have care, and a lot of issues with just being at home and not being able to leave the home. So I'm curious how you were able to navigate working partly with a workforce that I'm assuming had to deal with that on the administrative side that worked in the office, but then also dealing with a whole different part of your workforce that's constantly on the road and not dealing with that. How were you able to manage and navigate which messages you send to who? Or because the crisis affected so many people in a more similar way that I might not be thinking about, it was easier to use more blanket statements across your entire workforce.
That is definitely a challenge, because the one population we have, they can't work from home. Work is not in the home. So really we relied on our management. We pushed it out to the managers to keep track of their people. And I didn't do a lot of Zoom happy hours and things like that. It was all we could do to just keep the business running. We, knock on wood, did not have to do any layoffs or any furloughs. So we were able to keep our employees working, which really was the main goal, was let's just keep everybody working. And so we just had a great workforce. They just dug in, and the people that did work from home, our IT department had things set up to where the transition was fairly easy, and really people could just log in from home. So we did put together some policies at the beginning. We put together a temporary work at home policy that said, all right, it's going to be temporary. Here's the guidelines that we're going to set forth. And then we're going to look at when we can come back. We also did put together a program, if you will, for our drivers that if they did feel that they needed to be home, this was back in March, which seems like a lifetime ago now, that we could get them off the road for a couple of weeks and still get them, some pay. Company stepped up and did that to address the fear and the unknown. But then most of our drivers were, itching to get back out. But we do have people, and the thing is that it's different for each individual. At the same time, it's different for the different employee populations. At the same time, the company has certain, thresholds and levels of where we're comfortable as a management team and the ownership of the company. So it does feel like you're juggling a lot of different balls. I hope that answers your question. I'm trying to make sure I get to where you wanted to go.
No, that was great. That's exactly what I was asking. And in regards to the people who are working from home, have you had any requests from any of them to continue working from home permanently? And if so, is that something you're open to?
Well, and I think, and that's, this has stretched, at least in our organization, I think it has stretched our mindset in terms of, is working from home permanently a viable solution, or is that something that we want to do as an organization? We're not there yet. in terms of saying, yeah, that might be something we want to look at. Pretty, I would say a little bit old school. It's like, let's get in the office. A lot of what we do is collaborative. For the different departments. Different departments have different levels of collaboration. The operations department, where everybody's in the big ops center and calling out loads and who's got this truck where and this and that, we need people to be in the office and working together in the same environment. For some of the billing issues, some of the brokerage issues that we do or the brokerage work, some people really thrived at home. And some, it was better to get them back in the office. Of being essential, we never actually closed down. Being in Indiana, we are on a phased reopening. And so, yeah, this Monday, yesterday, June 1st, the majority of our people are back to work. I do have some people that have requested to work from home, and we're treating those with specific accommodations. And we're getting people back. The childcare issue is a... The availability of childcare is an issue, but people are finding ways to work through it so they can get back to work. And I think in the future we will see for our organization, I think it has stretched people's minds, like I said, and it has opened up their eyes to there may be different ways to work. And so I think we'll get there as an organization here, but I think you'll see more people just generally knowing that it is an option. But you have to make sure that it's a right fit because, you know, it has to be a right fit for the individual, for their specific circumstances, for their work temperament, for all kinds of things, to make sure that they're successful.
And my last question, are there any new skills that you found you've needed to learn or bring to the table in order to deal with this unprecedented crisis and to make sure that you can help your company move your workforce through this?
Oh my gosh, that is a great question. I'm gonna go a little personal on this one. For me, it has stretched my empathy muscles, if you will, making sure that you know what my personal philosophy for HR, for human resources, is the decisions that I make affect people's lives, and so I really try hard to make the best decisions I can. This has really stretched and stressed me personally to the level of, oh, these are big decisions. And I've had to learn how to be comfortable with this is the decision we have to make. And if it doesn't work with you and your, like if I'm talking to an employee, you know, I'm sorry, this is the decision that we came to. And if it doesn't work with your circumstances and it doesn't work with your life now post COVID, then no harm, no foul. If we have to, you know, part ways or do something, then great. It's because the world is different now, and the arrangement, if you will, that the employee and the employer had pre-pandemic, it's going to look very. It might look very different now because people's lives have changed and the situations have changed, and so I've had to become more comfortable with, I guess, letting go or with loss and not taking it as personally as I may have in the past.
That's awesome that you've been able to make lemonade out of lemons, I would say. And
I've tried. It's hard. Some days it is really hard to work through all this pressure.
Yeah, and make this a teachable moment for yourself and everyone else. You know, despite the fact that it's not something that we brought on ourselves, but it's something that we definitely have to deal with. And so we really commend you for all the hard work that you're putting in. And that's why we do this podcast series in the first place, because we know that HR, as underappreciated as it can be, unfortunately, in so many organizations, we really wanted to put the spotlight on how HR is really keeping the workforce together right now.
Oh, Bruce, thank you so much. Makes me smile. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. So, and I forgot that I must give you a huge shout out that this is your very first podcast. So,
yes, thank you.
I'm honored to be the first. So, but really, we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. We know you're dealing with a tremendous amount of pressure and a lot of work to keep your workforce going and keeping them engaged and safe and healthy through this crisis. So on behalf of our team at Employee Cycle and everyone else who's listening to this episode and learning from you and understanding how they can become more empathetic and how they can do a better job of dealing with this crisis, we hope that you, your family, and your team stay safe and healthy. And we really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Bruce, thanks for everything you're doing for the HR community. And just God bless you too, sir. Thanks.